Do you want certainty, convenience, and the most money when selling your home? Hi, it's Carol Royce with Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty. Receive my multiple cash offers by calling me direct. Carol Royce, 480-776-5231.
It feels like the NFL is back. At least through this weekend.
Yeah.
Draft coverage presented by Bud Light, Arizona Sports 98.7, and the Arizona Sports app. It's the Arizona Sports NFL Draft Special.
4 o'clock in the afternoon here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader, and welcome in to the day that, personally, my favorite day of the year on the air, my favorite thing that we do every single year when we get all of these minds together, all of these voices, all of these ideas, all of these opinions, and we just let them run with it all around an NFL draft. I just love the energy of today. It's going to be a lot of fun. It is our NFL draft roundtable coverage. We are coming to you live today from State Farm Stadium. We're at Flanker's Kitchen and Sports Bar inside the BetMGM Sportsbook, just on the other side of the Great Lawn where the big party is going on right now for the NFL draft. You're invited to come in and see us and hang out with us. We would love it if you did. My name is Dave Burns, co-host of the Burns and Gambo Show, going left to right on your radio dial. At the end of our table is my co-host every afternoon from 2 until 6, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Birdsy, what's going on?
In the middle of our table, we've got our midday host, the color analyst of the Arizona Cardinals, Ron Wolfley, who is joining us here. Hello, Wolf.
What's going on, boys? How are we doing?
Fantastic.
All
and
right.
Then the anchor, the third base, if you will, of our dream team here, playing the hot corner from the morning show, and our lead columnist at ArizonaSports.com, the one, the only, Dan Bickley.
Birdsy, what's going on?
That's your...
All right, so everybody at Flankers, to quote Tori Lavella, let's freaking party!
Let's party!
Let's freaking party!
All right, Dan, that's enough. That's enough out of you right now, all right?
Wolf's going to leave.
This broadcast has got room for one gamble, okay?
Hey, look, guys, I'm just going to say, a connected draft show is a dangerous draft show.
Exactly, Bernsie.
A connected draft show is a dangerous draft show, and I am absolutely feeling it. So we are all here, and we're about to talk about this. So let's set the scene. About an hour from now, this thing is going to start, and the Chicago Bears are going to be on the clock. We all know what they're going to do. We assume we know what the Commanders are going to do. We think we know what the Patriots are going to do, but we're not sure. And then it's going to come to the Arizona Cardinals. And, Bic, I'm going to start with you only because you're channeling the energy of Tori Lavello, and I respect that. What are your expectations for what the Cardinals are going to do it for?
Well,
stay put and take Harrison or trade out?
Yeah, listen, I think there's a lot of anticipation as to exactly how this quarterback order is going to drop, exactly where, if the Vikings want to move up, where they have to go to move up. I do think that as we get closer and closer to the draft, the safest bet, if you will, is that the Cardinals are going to make that pick at 4, and that if they make that pick at 4, they're not going to overthink the room. They're going to take C.J. Stroud's advice and take Marvin Harrison Jr. That's kind of my read on this?
Yeah. Okay, so if I were to say handicap the chance of a trade at 4. 10%, 20%, would you even put a number on it?
Well, I would probably say maybe in the 30s right now, but I the vibe I'm feeling is that they're going to stay put.
Wolf, you feeling that vibe?
Yeah, I'm with Danny on this one right now, and one of the big reasons why is because Monty Austinford has made it known that he is only going to take phone calls when they're on the clock. I think this is very interesting right here. To me, it is, at least. To only take phone calls, that means you better bring me your best offer. We're not going to negotiate this thing. This is not going to be a negotiation. You're going to call me, and within the first 30 seconds of that conversation, I want your best offer, because we're going to take probably multiple phone calls on that 10 minutes that they have to make that pick. So I think what's going to happen is he'll get those phone calls, and in the end, it's just not going to be enough, because Marvin Harrison Jr. or maybe even a Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze, you know, to me, I think the upside for Kyler Murray and for this offense is too poignant.
Gambo, you seem to have a read on at least some of the teams that might be making those phone calls, but I know you've basically said the same thing as Wolf, that they're only going to start negotiating those things when they are on the clock. But that's still, you still have an indication of who might be on the other end of that phone line.
They do know who the teams are because they have had conversations, so they know the four teams. I'll go over. I just want to say how great it is to have a true point guard running the show. With me, Wolf, and Bickley being more of a small forward and a shooting guard, can you imagine if you weren't here and the three of us had to run this? Can you imagine me, Wolf,
and Bickley, a broken team
trying to run this entire draft show?
We'd be playing ISO ball. We'd be running out the shot clock every possession.
Just happy to have a point guard running the draft show. A true point guard.
So the offshoot of that is what? You're Durant, he's Booker, and Bix Beal?
Oh, I mean, did you really have to do that? Really? Wow.
Sorry, Bix.
Wow. Well, you know what?
Wow.
You know what? You're right.
Wolf is the oldest, so
he can get
the Durant.
Yeah, right. No.
You're right, Bix. I have to put up with this guy for four hours every day. You're Booker, he's Durant, Gambo, you're Beal. Now, tell us what... I failed already as a point guard.
Four teams is one of them that you have not heard because it hasn't been associated with pick number four. But going into last night, the Minnesota Vikings, the New York Giants, the Denver Broncos, and even the Las Vegas Raiders are interested in number four. The Cardinals know that. Those are the teams they'll be speaking with when they're on the clock. I think in the end, I probably agree with Ron that there's not going to be enough to get a deal done, and they make the pick with Marvin Harrison Jr. But I can't say that with certainty because I don't know what those teams are willing to offer. Nobody does. And as Monty has said, there is a price for everything. There's a price for everything. So will he get to the point where somebody gives him an offer that is too good to pass up on?
Bick, what do you think that deal looks like? One that is too good to say,
I think it probably depends on the suitor, and it seems to me that the only suitor really is going to be the Vikings. There is a lot of mixed stuff coming out of the New York Giants camp. There are people who are convinced the Giants are actually committed to moving up, and there are people, including one dude I talked to, who think they're going to back up and get out of the quarterback arena because they do not think quarterback number four is worth what they might be sacrificing. So, I think that it really depends on who is making that phone call, but I would have to say a combination that's at least two ones and something additional attached to that.
Yeah,
I really think that I just think the quality versus quantity argument is very profound in this particular case with this particular team with this particular quarterback.
Yeah, at some point you can't just keep punting and falling back and acquiring draft picks. You have to kind of take a stand and plant a flag, right, and say this is the guy that we believe is going to change the trajectory of this franchise. Wolf, for you, do you have an idea of what the Godfather offer you can't refuse might look like for Monty Austin?
Yeah.
Not that you've spoken to him, but just in your own mind what it might look
like. Well, right now, especially if we're talking about the Denver Broncos, Minnesota Vikings, Raiders, one of those teams moving up, we already have a precedent, do we not? It's the Trey Lance precedent.
Yeah.
We're going to need three number ones. That's what we're going to need for us to even consider this. As a matter of fact, don't call me unless you're ready to offer three number ones.
But what if it's
right
the Giants and you're only dropping down two spots?
I know, exactly. Now, that's different. That's a different situation, okay? Now, we'll talk about that momentarily. But to me, I think the Minnesota Vikings are the team that is most likely. This is all I'm saying. Because of the draft capital that they do have, I think they're most likely to actually say, okay, this is something we're willing to do right here. And because of that, don't call me unless you have three number ones ready to go. I'll take a third as well, a third-round pick. That's four third-round picks for the Arizona Cardinals now. And just because I can, because I want to smell it when I think of you in 2025, I want a sixth-round pick in 2025. Just because I want to remember,
I want to think of you when I smell it.
I just want to remember. And again, listen, here's the great thing about it, guys. Monty Austinfort doesn't have to do a doggone thing.
No, he doesn't.
Monty Austinfort is sitting, and we've said this, the catbird seat right there. He doesn't have to do anything because the consolation prize, most likely, Is it going to be Marvin Harrison Jr.? Exactly what your quarterback needs? Yeah, no, he's in the catbird seat.
Gambo, leave me with this before we send it to a break, because you brought up the Giants possibility, and you know, in all the shows that we've done together, I'm fascinated by the Giants, because I think you still are in a wheelhouse to get a great wide receiver if you want. You certainly wouldn't get as the inventory that you would, but I would think the Giants represent a really interesting possibility if the Giants are, in fact, a team that wants to move up, as Dan has kind of wondered about.
Daniel Jones had a bad year, tore his ACL, but didn't have a wide receiver to throw the ball to. So there's also the thought that if you go get the Giants, one of those three wide receivers, Daniel Jones will be a better quarterback. Just a couple years ago, they were in the playoffs. They got beat by the Eagles. He had a good year, but a bad year last year by Daniel Jones, an ACL injury, and not having any wide receiver. There is some thought, like, do you run it back with him one more time?
Yeah. When we come back on our draft coverage here with Dan Bickley, Ron Wolfley, John Gambadoro, myself, Dave Burns, as we're live here for the BetMGM Sportsbook and Flanker's Kitchen, we will talk about these wide receivers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze. Which of the top three do we want the most on the Cardinals? I think we've kind of answered that question, but if you can't get one, then what do you do? We'll talk about that next here on Arizona Sports.
Do you want certainty, convenience, and the most money when selling your home? Hi, it's Carol Royce with Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty. Receive my multiple cash offers by calling me direct. Carol Royce, 480-776-5231.
It feels like football is back, at least through this weekend. Draft coverage presented by Bud Light. It's the Arizona Sports NFL Draft Special.
Dan Bickley, Ron Wolfley, John Gambadoro, me, myself, Dave Burns, here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. We are also streaming on YouTube as well, thanks to our video.
Right, oh, boy.
We are, right? Jeremy just gave me a look like, no, we're not. Are we? Okay.
We are.
And Twitter. All right, and our website. So at ArizonaSports.com, YouTube, Twitter, you can watch us in addition to listen to us. We are inside Flanker Kitchen and Sports Bar, inside the BetMGM Sportsbook, right outside the Great Lawn, outside of State Farm Stadium down here where all the big party is. And yeah, we've brought the party to you with our three absolute stud insiders here.
And as the point guard, the Suns wish they had.
And the point guard, the Suns wish they had.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to take a single shot, guys. I really am here just to make sure y'all get your touches. You're all happy. We're not chilling here on this show, right? Nobody chilling.
No, nobody's chilling.
We're super engaged here.
No, Gambo, that was a very profound thing he said. This is proof of the importance of a point guard. You gotta have it.
All right. You guys are too nice.
Can I jump in real quick before
please,
we get out of this?
Yes, okay. Please.
One of the things that I think the NFL has done incredibly well is this idea of taking the NFL draft and moving it to Rust Belt cities that allow huge swaths of football fans to drive from Pittsburgh, from Cleveland, from Michigan, whatever. This scene in Detroit today, I've been watching online. This is nuts. I don't think you would find a fan base in the NFL more hype and more engaged in the sport right now than Detroit, Michigan. They hit a gold mine with this draft.
You see the aerial shots and all the Honolulu blue and silver. We had Tyler Drake on the show earlier. I think he even indicated they had to close the doors.
Plus, it helps that
because they just were too full.
Yeah,
there weren't.
It helps that they have a great team now, too.
Oh, it's the perfect confluence of everything. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what's weird about this is, and I've growing up in Chicago, I knew a lot of people who lived in Michigan, and for years they would always tell me, no matter how good the Red Wings are, no matter how good the Pistons are, no matter how good Michigan basketball or Michigan State football is, the Lions are number one in that state. And I always thought to myself, that's insane. They're horrible.
They're
Why
always
would
horrible.
They be number one?
Wait.
But they are.
You grew up in Chicago?
Shut up, man.
Oh, wait. Don't even get Wolf started on West Virginia stories or Buffalo stories.
Buffalo. Yeah, thank you very much.
Don't even get started about
Listen,
that.
Listen, I went to West Virginia University.
Of course.
I'm not from there.
Of course. You're right, Buffalo. I knew that. I again, a turnover on the point guard. I'm sorry. I turn the ball over. I'll be a little more focused. My bad. Let's talk about these three wide receivers. Okay, so
We all know the greatness of Marvin Harrison Jr. We've all, on our various shows, we've all talked about it. There is a scenario, not if they stay at four, but there is a scenario if there's a trade out, trade up, whatever, that it's going to be a wide receiver, but it's not going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. So, Gamble, I'll start with you on this one. Which one do you like if it's not Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I like Odunze.
Okay.
I think that he's bigger and stronger and physical. I mean, I like them all. It's not that I'm against small receivers. My favorite receiver in this league is Amon Ross St. Brown, who just got paid, because I think he is phenomenal. So I don't think the size matters that much. All three guys are very different, but I just think that Odunze would be the pick for me. I do love the physicality that he plays the game with.
Wolf, which one do you like that's not Marvin Harrison?
Man, you know what? Oh, boy. I'm also with Johnny in this. I do like Rome Odunze as well. Rome Odunze reminds me an awful lot of Anquan Boldin. Anquan Boldin is a guy you could line up at the weak side inside linebacker, and he'd actually find a way to play that position. He's a football player first, through and through. And I think Rome Odunze has a lot of football player in him. He really does. It's interesting when I say that, because Larry Fitzgerald, I think from a frame perspective, from his frame and his talent level, I think Rome Odunze is a good comp to Larry Fitzgerald. But I say Anquan Boldin because of the football player that Rome Odunze was. And when I say that, I'm talking about the physicality. Rome Odunze knock your face off. You want him to block? You put him out in the slot.
Sure,
he's
sure.
Going to block and knock your face off. Larry wasn't crazy about blocking,
no.
As we all know, right? No. Can I get an amen on that? Larry was not crazy about that right there. So, once again, to me, Rome Odunze is more of an Anquan Boldin type guy. He's an excellent run after a catch guy. Malik Nabers, of course, very explosive, no doubt about it. But it's interesting, guys, because I see Malik Nabers, very explosive wide receiver, and then I see Rome Odunze, a football player, and Marvin Harrison is the combination of both of those things. That's what I love.
All right, same question for you, Big, but also tacking on at the back end of that, do you buy it when the experts tell you that there's very little separation between these three guys?
That's a great question. I personally do not. I think as somebody, and again, I have to preface this by saying I have been so wrong on so many guys that I thought were going to hit and so many guys I thought were going to miss in the NFL that has to be said.
But, get in line, Dan.
Yeah, when I look at Marvin Harrison Jr., the reason why I see incredible, why I see separation between him and everybody else is something Wolf always talks about: consistency. When you look at his consistent game speed, his consistent route speed, it's all there. His consistency and productivity, it's there. The red zone productivity, it's off the charts. So, and it's been there from day one to the end with through different quarterbacks. That to me speaks volumes. So I am of the opinion that there is separation. Look, I've watched film on Malik Nabers, and his get-off ability, it's mind-boggling. But when you're talking about two receivers from the same team being drafted in the first round, you've got to wonder how much of that field is being wide opened and carved in half for Malik Nabers, and how many guys that were really speed acceleration guys get to the NFL and fail.
Gambo, I know you would chime in on this.
Yeah, because I can tell you there is separation, because the Arizona Cardinals do have Joe Alt, the tackle from Notre Dame, and Dallas Turner, the edge rusher from Alabama, ahead of one of those wide receivers on their board. So it's not like those three wide receivers are ahead of the best tackle and the best edge rusher. That is not true. Joe Alt and Dallas Turner are absolutely ahead of at least one of those wide receivers on their board. So there is separation.
And as you've said many times on our show, too, and I think it bears to the idea that all three are going to come into the league and be elite, that's kind of hard to buy, right?
It
could, but it doesn't seem likely that all three.
One of them is going to be better than the other two. And when somebody's going to be the second best, somebody's going to be the third best. That's just how it is. Now, some of it depends on where you end up. Do you end up in a place with a good coach? Do you end up somewhere with a good quarterback? Do you end up somewhere with an owner that's committed to winning? Will you have a good offensive line to protect you? Like, a lot of it depends on your situation and where you end up. But there's no doubt that one of those three wide receivers, when their careers are over, will have been by a pretty good margin better than the other two.
Wolf?
You know, one of the things we got to keep in mind is the bust rate for a wide receiver is the highest.
That's unbelievable.
It is. But you know what, Danny? When you stop and think about it, it really isn't. And the reason being is because what offense do you get drafted into?
Yeah.
You know, what offensive coordinator? Who's your quarterback coach? who is your quarterback?
Who's your quarterback?
Right?
Who's your owner?
So much. What about your offensive line? Can they protect the quarterback long enough for him to actually find you and throw you the ball? A wide receiver, so much of what he does is predicated on so many other people doing their job. And that's the reason why I think you've got this high bust rate for a wide receiver. Having said that, though, never forget this, man. Just because that's the highest bust rate doesn't mean Marvin Harrison or Roma Dunze are in that category.
Yeah. And I'll say, somehow Larry Fitzgerald, with some really, really bad quarterbacks, ended up overcoming that.
That's well played.
Yeah, he did. He did, no doubt about it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back here on our roundtable conversation, and once again, we are live from Flanker Kitchen and Sports Bar. We are inside Flanker Kitchen and Sports Bar, part of the BetMGM Sportsbook, part of the Great Lawn out here at State Farm Stadium for our draft coverage. All right, Gambo mentioned it. We're going to tease kind of ahead with that a little bit. According to his intel, there are two players that are ahead of one of the three wide receivers on the Cardinals draft board. So if it's not wide receiver for the Cardinals with their first-round pick, what should it be? We'll talk about that with Dan Bickley, Ron Wolfley, John Gambadoro, myself, Dave Burns, next here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Do you want certainty, convenience, and the most money when selling your home? Hi, it's Carol Royce with Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty. Receive my multiple cash offers by calling me direct. Carol Royce, 480-776-5231.
Who's picking fourth?
Arizona.
It feels like the NFL is back. Draft coverage presented by Bud Light. It's the Arizona Sports NFL Draft Special.
We're back here live on Arizona Sports. You can also watch us on YouTube. You can watch us on social media. You can watch us at ArizonaSports.com. We're streaming the whole thing. Thanks to Jeremy and our crew here. You can watch all of us. John Gambadoro, Dan Bickley, Ron Wolfley. Later, it's going to be Vince Marotta and Luke Lipinski. We've got the whole crew here. Keep it here the whole time. We've got wall-to-wall, pick-to-pick coverage all the way until the end of the first round. And we're going to talk a little bit about how that first round might end with the Arizona Cardinals having that second first-round pick. But we're hyper-focused on what's going to happen early in this draft. And, Wolf, I'm going to start with you on this one. Not that we think this is going to happen, but we also have to acknowledge that it could happen. Maybe not at four, if the Cardinals stay at four. But certainly if there's some maneuvering around and they trade out and trade back up, it might not be a wide receiver. It might be another player. It might be another position in the top ten. You got to lean. You got to feel for a non-wide receiver, Joe Alt or Dallas Turner or somebody. You got to lean for anybody?
You know, honestly, it's a fascinating question, David. And the reason being, of course, is because I am so sold that it is going to be a wide receiver at number four, because that is one of the best ways you could help Kyler Murray continue to develop, especially when you have an elite rushing attack like the Arizona Cardinals have. You've got a great tight end who can work the middle of the field as well as anybody in the National Football League. Trey McBride is going to just take another step and be huge. Play action is huge. You don't have a wide receiver right now. You don't have a true wide receiver one. That's the reason why I'm going to be shocked if they would go anywhere else. Having said that, I think maybe the only guy that is in an area of need, and what I love about Monty Ossenford is he says, no, we draft for need. Okay, I love the fact he comes forward. He admits the fact we draft for need. We're not taking the best player available, right? Mm-hmm. We've heard that for years. It's so interesting. You take the best player available, it just happens to fit a need that you had on your team as well. So I love the fact they're going to draft for need. And if you are going to do that, I think it's Joe Alt. Joe Alt at number four. I think he's actually worthy of being the first offensive lineman taken in the draft at number four.
Mick, I'm going to go to Gambo on this.
Yeah, no worries.
Gambo, if not a wide receiver, you got a lean, you got a preference?
Yeah, it'll be Joe Alt. I mean, when I did my Gambo 5, I did it with not just who they could pick at four, but you know I did it who they could pick in the top 10. So if they were to move out of four, and I still think they stay at four, but if they were to move out and come back in at eight or nine, they would prefer Joe Alt as the pick. So I think it would be Joe Alt. And then I also think Dallas Turner. But again, they like those two guys better than they like, you know, at least one of those wide receivers. So they want to protect the quarterback and they want to attack the quarterback. So it's those are the two areas, protect the quarterback or attack the quarterback. If they don't take a wide receiver,
It'll be one of those two positions.
Vic, I know we're having an extremely hypothetical conversation
but I like
here.
But I like it. No, I do, because then what you do if you're the Cardinals, you look at what are your areas of extreme need in high-leverage positions, and I think that you go, okay, offensive line, it's a credo of a lot of smart football people. Build your lines first. Build from the inside out. If that's the case, I agree. Joe Alt's the guy. The Fasciano kid from Penn State. J.C. Latham from Alabama.
I love him.
They're all great players, but I think Joe Alt's probably above them. There's a reason why that's what the Chargers apparently want to do, and that's why what the Titans want to do. Then you look at cornerback and who might be there. Cooper DeJean, there might be a few other guys, and then you look at edge rusher, the Slatu kid from UCLA, maybe a couple of others. That's the pool that I would be looking in. If you had to say, select somebody who's not a wide receiver, I'm probably with these guys. Not to be groupthink here, but it's probably Joe Alt.
Yeah, I'm going to Gambo and I talked about this a little bit on our show, and I know this is dreaming, and I know that dreaming is free, and I know that I have a vivid imagination. But I do think there's at least a scenario we could talk about where the Cardinals satisfy all things here, and that's either a trade back to six with the Giants, or a trade out of four and a trade back up to, say, like five with the Chargers if they want to get out. Follow my thinking on this one. Cardinals trade out of four. It goes quarterback 1, 2, 3, 4. The Chargers, even with Marvin Harrison Jr. there, love offensive linemen and are said to be attached to offensive linemen in this draft. Now the Cardinals at six, because they've made their deal with the Giants, Marvin Harrison Jr. is still there, but they still did the trade down to get extra assets, and yet they've threaded this dream needle of being able, which is what I'm calling, we're threading the dream needle
here. Good name for a band, Bernsey. Dream needle.
Dream needle. They're threading the dream needle, and they're still getting Marvin Harrison Jr. six, or they're trading back up with the Chargers at five, and they're still getting Marvin Harrison Jr. if they trade out at four. Am I dreaming? Is it too many moving parts? Is there a way they could do both? Trade out?
I don't know about that. That's a lot of moving pieces. I don't know if you could pull that off.
It's unlikely. I mean, it's unlikely, but look, everybody looks at last year and they see what he did and they say, okay, just do what the Cardinals did last year. There's a lot of unknowns there, but you know, so that's why I think it sounds great. You know, last year they were willing to drop down past a certain point, but they had enough to come back up and still be a net positive. They used the second that they got to come back up, but they was still positive, a future first and third. So I am intrigued by all of that, but everybody says, oh, just do what Arizona did. Hey, other teams want guys too. Last year, a lot of the stars aligned. There's no guarantee. And again, as me and you have talked about, anytime you make a deal, you got to think worst case scenario. I'm trading back down. I might not be able to trade back up.
Yeah.
I might have to stay where I'm at because I might not be able to get back up.
Well, Gambo brings up a really good point. How much of our belief in Monty this year is kind of predicated on the sorcery he did last year, right? To think that, oh, we can just do it again. You can trade up. You can trade back. You can move here. You can move there. You can get exactly what you... Did he make it look almost too easy last year?
Yeah, he did. There's no doubt about it. Because, again, to trade down and then move back up and get a player you're targeting, you've got to plow that road well before the draft. Now, that could possibly be what he's been doing this whole time, of course, is plowing that road once again. But, you know, I just the New York Giant thing, I want to go back to
that because it is
fascinating to me when you think of, man, what could they possibly glean moving down two spots? What could they possibly get from the New York Giants? And what would that mean for the Chargers at number five? I think for the Chargers, they're going to look at it and say, we're going to go ahead and we're going to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. plays at number five right there. And that's the reason why. Who's your number two receiver, and how much do you like that guy? Is it really flip a coin between Marvin Harrison Jr. and Aroma Dunze, or Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers? Is it really that close where you're just going to – because if that's the case, maybe you would go ahead and move down, collect some more draft capital, and still draft the wide receiver of choice.
Bick,
you're smiling over there.
No. I was checking out something else and people responding to it, to our conversation. I think, to me, again, I've been steadfast in believing that there is separation with your wide receiver. I've been told by my limited sources that Jim Harbaugh is definitely going offensive lineman with that fifth pick, which seems to be, and again, there's a lot of smoke and all that kind of stuff right now. So I think that there's a possibility that this draft unfolds in a way that isn't as surprising or chaotic as we believe it might be.
Can I just say this, though? You know what, Danny? If they do that, this is their wide receivers. Josh Palmer.
Right, yep.
Quentin Johnson.
That's not good.
And Darius Davis.
No, it's not good.
Those are their three. You've got a quarterback that you want to have options for, Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
You want to give this guy some options, and that isn't, that's not a
Mike
great
Williams
wide receiver.
And Allen. They lost two great wide receivers.
They didn't lose them, they let them both go. Yeah. And the way it's been described to me is that Jim Harbaugh has always been a big believer in physical football. You saw that at San Diego State. You saw it at Stanford. You saw it in the pros. And then when he got to Michigan, what got him above Ohio State finally after all those years was doubling down on physicality up front. And now that is his number one.
And I think that is why everybody assumes the Chargers go offensive
That's
line
it.
At five.
That's
it's the Jim Harbaugh way to take a tackle at five and not a generational wide receiver.
Yeah.
Yes.
But he's also right when you say you look at their wide receiver room and it's really deficient right now.
Yeah, Joe Hortiz as well, the general manager, you got to remember where he came from. Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
You know what they love to do?
Physicality.
Oh, my goodness. Line up on the line of scrimmage. So, listen, I'm not saying that's a ridiculous way that the Chargers could go. To pass on what I think is a generational wide receiver when your quarterback needs, your team needs a wide receiver, man, that'd be tough.
Yeah, Campbell, give me the last word on this.
Harbaugh knows Marvin Harrison Jr. very well. Very, very well. He's coached against them many, many times. So he knows if he's a stoppable wide receiver or not. So if he goes Joe Alt, he may not believe that Marvin Harrison Jr. is all that in a bag of chips like we do.
Which seems crazy to think. But yes, he certainly has knowledge of him. Yeah,
no, it's possible.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's possible. All right, guys. When we continue here on our roundtable conversation, we have been neglectful. We haven't talked about the other first-round pick the Arizona Cardinals have tonight. As it stands right now, they've got two of them. What do we want them to see? Not necessarily who, but what do we want them to target with the 27th overall pick? We'll run that past our A-plus list of panelists here. Dan Bickley, Ron Wolfley, John Gambadoro here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app. Draft coverage presented by Bud Light. It's the Arizona Sports NFL Draft Special.
We are live from Flanker Kitchen and Sports Bar inside the BetMGM Sportsbook, as we are just outside the Great Lawn where the big Cardinals draft party is going on. The draft, set to begin in just about 15 minutes from now. We're expecting, if nothing changes, for the Cardinals to be on the clock at about 5:45. Bick, you look like you're chomping at the bit to say something.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
I'm good, man.
I thought you were ready to jump in on something right there.
You know me, man. I'm always ready to interrupt everybody.
Of course. You're a lot like my wife in that regard. Always. And I love you, honey, if you're listening. I was just kidding. All right, let's talk about 27, because we haven't talked about 27 hardly at all. And, Bick, I'll start with you on this one, because you do look like you're chomping at the bit. I think there's almost a 100% chance that the Cardinals will not make the 27th pick in tonight's draft.
Yeah.
That they will either go up
or
down. I think that pick is on the move.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know why you feel that. I'm curious, but I have exactly the same kind of feeling that if they stay at four and execute the pick for a Marvin Harrison Jr., then yes, I think that pick has got wheels on it, one way or the other.
Yeah, I think, Wolf, the reason I feel that way about it is that it does seem like a prime position where if somebody wants to come up and get a player to make sure they assure the fifth-year option on them, they can.
That's a big deal.
But if the Cardinals see somebody slipping that might be available at 17, 16, 18, 19, goodness knows they have enough ammunition in the third round to be able to package that with the 27th pick to move up a couple spots and get somebody they really, really like.
No, I'm with you on that one, David. Yet at the same time, I hope they stay right there and actually take another player in the first round who has that kind of talent.
Even if they move up in the first round?
Yeah, because honestly, I think, once again, you can still get a good football player in the third round, and they have three number three picks. I love that right there. You can still get a good football player right there. Now, listen, if there's a guy you love, I got no problem with that. If they want to package that and go ahead and move up, I got no problem with that, David. But, man, you better be convicted on that. And that's the one great thing about scouting. There are no ties.
Yeah.
Okay? Nature abhors a vacuum, and scouting departments abhor ties. They don't like that. There's always one player that is better than the other player. Okay? Even if it's the smallest of margins, you're going to look at one guy and say, that is my guy. That's what scouting is. Whom do you hitch your wagon to? Who do you do that to? And, of course, people keep track of who you hitch your wagon to and how important that is. It's all about declare who is better in scouting. So, once again, I don't really buy into the tier system. I think there are players that are on the same tier for the most part, but they're never ranked the same, in my opinion.
Gambo, move up, move down at 27. Does that pick have wheels, as Bick says?
I think there's a lot of quantity there, and if you could turn some quantity into quality, there's probably somebody at 17, 18, 19 that's going to be better than a 27. You've got 11 picks. Do any of us really think they're going to draft 11 rookies to come in? I know they need a lot of players. I mean, I get it. But 11 rookies, then some undrafted free agents, I don't know. If you could take, go from 11 picks to 9 picks, but then you also were able to go up 10, 12 spots to, look, they like three of the corners, okay? They like the Clemson kid, the Toledo kid, and the other kid. Three good picks. The sweet spot for those guys are between 10 and 20. The Alabama kid, the Toledo kid, and the Clemson kid. If you could take 27 and something else to go get one of those kids, then I think you got to do it. I think you have to do it because I think you're getting a better quality of player there.
Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that I've always believed from about pick number 25 in the first round through about midway through the fourth round, that is where your best general managers in the NFL really make their mark, where they really uncover stars while other people take swings and misses. And as Will pointed out, having three in the third, that's a lot of leverage and a lot of maneuverability. I really believe that, and I don't think Monty Austin-Ford is consumed with perception, but if you get out of the first round with a highly rated wide receiver, which of course a guy at number four would be, and a edge rusher of some repute, I think you've done a great job.
Wolf?
I just want to say this quickly. Yeah, the Baltimore Ravens are, I think, a team that drafts better than anybody in the National Football League. And their philosophy, their entire philosophy, is built on quantity of pick, not quality of pick. Because the more picks that I have gives me the more chances to hit on certain players.
So
whether he was a fourth
round,
that's what it is. That's all it is, Danny. They look for players that are good for their culture, look for guys that fit their culture, and then say, we're going to draft them because they have the ability to play in the National Football League, and all it does is up their percentage of hitting on a player, and that's their belief. I'm kind of with them on that, and I think Monty is as well.
Gambo, I'm going to start with you. We've got about 60 seconds. If you want to name a specific player, great. If not, just give me a position. What do you think the Cardinals should do with their second first-round pick? Either a position or a specific player?
It really depends on what they do with the first pick, to be honest with you. But so let's just say they go wide receiver there. I'd like to see them get one of those three cornerbacks if possible.
Okay. Wolf?
I'd like to see him get the best interior offensive lineman in the draft.
Are you going
to
stump for your guy? I know you're going to stump.
He's not going to be there at 27. Okay. Graham Barton, he's not going to be there at 27.
Okay, because I don't want you to. Gambo's got his high blood pressure pills if you need to take any. I mean, because I.
Well, let me tell you.
Because you're going to stump for that guy. I know you're going to stump
for
that guy.
Once again, man, I'm just saying, you want to give Kyler Murray every opportunity to be successful.
Bick, position, player?
I would say the highest rated cornerback and or edge rusher. who you've got on your board if you have that pick at that time.
Okay. We'll see what they, and of course, our coverage here is going to continue through the entirety of the first round. So if the Cardinals stay put, the Cardinals trade out, the Cardinals trade up, we're going to be here, the four of us, Vince Marotta, Luke Lipinski, all of us here at Arizona Sports, taking you right until the end of the first round of the draft. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, the first round is set to begin. And we will be here to bring it to you here on Arizona Sports. We are live from Flanker Kitchen and Sports Bar inside the BetMGM Sportsbook. And we'll be back with the beginning of the 2024 NFL Draft right after this here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Do you want certainty, convenience, and the most money when selling your home? Hi, it's Carol Royce with Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty. Receive my multiple cash offers by calling me direct. Carol Royce, 480-776-5231.